The complaint says Prop 208 violates the state constitution by attempting to create a new income tax surcharge without a supermajority vote of both houses of the legislature. One lawsuit was filed by a group of state lawmakers, including Senate President Karen Fan and Speaker of the House Rusty Bowers, along with the Goldwater Institute, a conservative think tank. John Riches is the Institute's Director of National Litigation.
No legislation, whether it's passed through the initiative process or whether it's passed by the legislature, can override the Constitution. And this expressly tries to do that.
The plaintiffs have requested that the Maricopa County Superior Court order that Prop 208 not be enacted until they get a hearing. Their lawsuit against Prop 208 has been filed by a Scottsdale business owner and a former Maricopa County Superior Court judge. Rocio Hernandez, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Republican legislators have filed a suit to block Proposition 208, the voter-approved initiative that would raise taxes on the wealthiest Arizonans to fund public schools. The suit argues that only the legislature can raise taxes and that the initiative violates the state's constitution by doing so without the legislature's approval. The suit is the second one filed after voters approved the proposition in November, also known as the Invest in Education Act, and it seeks to stop the enactment of the act until the case gets a hearing. Joining us now to discuss the merits of the suit is John Riches, Director of National Litigation with the Goldwater Institute, which is bringing the suit. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Lauren. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. So I want to start with the main argument that you're making here that's very simple, that this is just unconstitutional in our state. Lay this out for us. What exactly does the state's constitution say about who can raise taxes in Arizona?
Sure. So there's actually two problems with this. The Arizona Constitution limits both how money can be raised in the state, but also how money can be spent in the state. And Proposition 208 attempts to evade, in some cases, quite expressly, both of those constitutional limitations. So starting with the spending limitations, the Arizona Constitution is quite plain. Arizona voters in 1996 passed a constitutional amendment that limits revenue that's provided to school districts every year, and that's determined by an economic estimates commission. Well, Prop 208 simply tries to exempt itself from the definition of what local revenue means within that constitutional provision. And of course, no legislation can exempt itself from constitutional protections. I mean, this would sort of be analogous to some ordinary legislation saying, well, freedom of speech doesn't include criticism of public officials for purposes of this provision. But that applies here with respect to these expenditure limitations. So that's the first problem. And then the second problem, which is what you alluded to, Lauren, is that the Constitution also limits how money can be raised in this state. And once again, Arizona voters, this time in 1992, amended Arizona's Constitution to put in place protections for how taxes can be raised in this state. And what the Constitution provides is that any act that provides for an increase of taxes has to be passed by the legislature and by a two-thirds supermajority of the legislature. Of course, this provision was not passed by the legislature at all and certainly didn't receive anywhere near a two-thirds supermajority vote from voters in the initiative process.
So many will note here, though, that voters in Arizona have done this before, have approved taxes at the ballot box. 301 is an example. This was a couple of decades ago now. It implemented a sales tax to raise money for education as well. Are those other examples of this also unconstitutional?
They could potentially be. I'll say this. None of those were previously challenged. So it is possible that they could also be unconstitutional. But the bottom line here is that the unconstitutionality of this particular measure is so brazen that where it literally tries to, in plain English, tries to exempt itself from the Constitution, that I think that the case as to the unconstitutionality of this measure is quite strong.
John, we know even with passage that Prop 208 has not been implemented yet clearly, but can you explain to us why, as much as, let's say, the Arizona Chamber had fought this before November 3rd, why was a lawsuit not filed before this? Is this a matter of if it passes, we're going to file?
Well, so it couldn't be. And in fact, there was an initial challenge with respect to the ballot language and whether that fairly apprised voters of what the measure did. That challenge played out prior to the implementation of the law. But constitutional challenges can't be brought until after the measure is certified. And that didn't happen until yesterday. So this was the earliest possible opportunity that a case could be brought. I will also note that when the proponents of this measure, by the way, the proponents are mostly out-of-state moneyed interests who tried to pass this in Arizona, but the proponents of it, as they were trying to get language on the ballot, had to go to this nonpartisan committee called Legislative Council to determine if the language was in proper form. And Legislative Council told them that it was unconstitutional for one of the very reasons that our case makes here.
Let me ask you, John, about also the fact that voters have approved this now, right? Like, does this set a dangerous precedent in terms of voter initiatives moving forward and the Voter Protection Act and what is protected there? Arizona's did pass this.
I think it's the opposite of that, Lauren. Respecting the will of voters in this state means respecting the constitutional limits that voters have also put in place on spending and taxes in this state. And as I mentioned, the constitutional provisions under which this case is brought were all put in place by voters properly through the constitutional process. And look, had the proponents done this properly, they could have run it as a constitutional amendment. They could have run it as constitutional amendment after they were already apprised of its constitutional defects, but they chose not to. They chose to run it as ordinary legislation, and in doing so, they've created the constitutional problems that exist now.
All right. That's all I have time for today. That is John Riches, Director of National Litigation with the Goldwater Institute. John, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much, Lauren. Take care.